Good morning, a Tuesday morning. We're with our political observer, Alan Chartok. Alan, Supreme Court nominee Amy Coney Barrett set to face senators' questions during a second day of confirmation hearings. WMC will, of course, break to give you that coverage. That starts at 9, a panel discussion before at 8 a.m. And I'm wondering what your thoughts were on the dueling views that we saw yesterday at the confirmation hearings.
Well, David, I am not a fan of what the Republicans are doing. I think it's disgusting. They keep insisting the Democratic Party and the Democrats in the Senate are anti-Catholic. Well, that's not true. The fact of the matter is that nobody's mentioned that at all, but they keep saying it because they want to distract from the essential issues of Barrett ruling against, potentially, the Affordable Care Act, which, if it is done away with, will deprive millions of people of proper health care. You know, the president keeps saying that he has a better plan. He's been saying it for 4 years. Excuse me, where is that better plan? Have you ever shown us that plan? No, because you're somebody who continues to lie and lie and lie and lie and lie, which makes you a lying liar, which I have said so many times. The fact of the matter is they have the votes to go through with this. You see Senator Lee sitting up there without a mask, who had tested positive, whose doctor has cleared him for going forward, just as the president's doctor has said that he's tested negative on the virus for 2 consecutive days. Well, that's interesting because he doesn't tell us which 2 consecutive days. Were they before he got the virus? They won't tell you any of that stuff because they are so full of baloney. So, David, I'm saying they probably have the votes to do it. They're going to push and push and push. They're going to be as unethical, in my opinion, as they possibly can. They're going to lie about the Democratic Party being anti-Catholic, despite the fact that the Democrats have a Catholic candidate for president of the United States, and it is just typical of the kind of lies that we see being fostered by the Republicans and by Trump again and again and again. In the meantime, David, he is so far behind in all of the polls, and a lot of people are voting already. So there is going to be an attempt to hijack this election. I know it. When you don't have enough polling places, or you don't have enough places to drop off your ballots, or you reject the wisdom of the people of Florida, for example, who said that people who have paid their debt to society should be allowed to vote. And then you just, by fiat, say, no, that's not so, because you know there are so many Democrats who vote that way. And this is just as big a nightmare as anybody has ever seen in this country.
To your point about the issue of not only voter suppression, but outright stealing of the election, California orders GOP to remove unofficial ballot drop boxes set up in at least 4 counties. Secretary of State Alex Padilla said Monday the boxes are illegal, but Republicans refused to remove them. They said they were just taking advantage of California's liberal ballot collection law that allows anyone to collect ballots from voters and deliver them to the county election offices.
Again, the hypocrisy is incredible. On the one hand, they accuse the Democrats of rigging the election, and on the other hand, they go and project it onto themselves, and they do exactly that. If the Secretary of State, who is the chief elections officer, says they're illegal, they're illegal. We have seen this kind of thing again and again and again. They're doing everything in their power to turn it around because Trump is 10 points behind in most of the national polls and is behind in most of the state polls that really count, those marginal districts where he won the last time. So again, it's going to be hijacking of the election, and it is disgraceful.
Yeah, The Economist magazine has an analysis out this morning, Alan, that says Joe Biden has a 91% chance of winning. We've talked about this sort of unintended effect. If you keep saying someone's so far ahead, does that lessen the turnout?
Well, there are two ways of looking at it. On the one hand, there will be people who say, well, you know, I'm not going to vote because I don't have to. And among Democrats, that has been fashionable in past years. You can look to 2016 to see how far that takes you when everybody was predicting that Trump couldn't win. Now he has won, and he'll do anything in his power not to leave. On the other hand, there is also the bandwagon effect. We have seen in the past that when somebody is going to win, people want to be on the right side, and they come out and they vote. So you could look at it either way. In any case, it doesn't much matter. If people don't vote, they lose their chance. And what I'm seeing now is that people are revved up and they're going to vote because this president has been the worst president that this country has ever had, and because he has the potential to lead us into chaos. Another 4 years, and only heaven knows what could happen.
Well, you referenced President Trump defending his virus record at a first post-COVID rally, the issue of the disease and a possible vaccine. We see now that Johnson & Johnson has halted their vaccine trial. The late-stage trial, says the New York Times, was paused over an unexplained illness, but the company did not say if the sick volunteer had received the vaccine or a placebo. We know that getting a vaccine is not an easy process, and at least until next year, as the president continues to say things like, I'm cured and we'll have it before the election.
David, that's why you don't want to have a rushed vaccine trial, because if you do that, you risk people's lives. We know that. That's why these procedures have been set up. It does seem that Trump believes that if he could produce a vaccine before Election Day, that somehow that would turn things around. Well, the polls and others have shown that people are deeply suspicious of this process. And to have a vaccine just for having a vaccine's sake is hardly the answer.
How about this one? Facebook says it is banning posts that deny or distort the Holocaust and will start directing people to authoritative sources if they search for information about the Nazi genocide. Should this have been foreseen a lot earlier?
I don't know. You know that my wife, Roselle, is a Holocaust scholar and wrote a book with Jack Spencer. She did her doctorate on this very issue, and she found, you know, anti-Semitism in many homes, and anti-Semitism often goes with Holocaust deniers. So we have certainly seen it in the past, and we will see it again. One of the greatest problems is that as we get further and further away from the Holocaust, there will be more of these idiots who do this kind of denial.
Our political observer, Alan Chartok, with us. Thank you.